Good afternoon, congregation. Welcome to all visitors who are worshiping with us today, as well as those who are following along online. We pray that we may all be blessed as we worship the Lord together. We have a few announcements from the council. The congregation is reminded that our offerings today will be for the work of the deacons among the needy, both locally and abroad. There will be a council meeting tomorrow evening at 7:30 p.m. The congregation is informed that there will be a brief congregational meeting after next week's Sunday's morning service to present a name for the calling of a minister. There will be a Zion Vespers service this afternoon at 3:30 p.m. at Zion Manor. And we welcome Reverend Dick Moles, the Emeritus Pastor of Surrey Covenant Reformed Church, to lead our worship service this afternoon.
A very good afternoon to you all. The Lord calls us to worship him with the following words: clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. For the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared, a great King over all the earth. Amen. If you are able, would you please rise? Congregation, where does our help come from?
Our help is in the name of the Lord, the Maker of heaven and earth. Amen.
Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is coming, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Amen. Let us sing together Psalm 46, stanzas 1 and 2.
We will.
Let us unite together in prayer. Father, we thank you that you are our refuge and strength, our ever-present help in trouble. Even though you come into this world and into our own lives with difficulties and crises, we need not fear because you are near. And we thank you for the comfort that this gives. Father, we also thank you for that river, that stream of living water that is the joy of your people, your church. We thank you that this river of eternal life comes straight from your heart of love and is mediated to us through the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. We thank you that in this way you are truly Emmanuel, God with us. And if you are with us, who can be against us? Father, we confess that we all stand in need of these streams of living water that flow forth from your throne of mercy. Living our lives in this broken and fragmented world as broken and fallen people is not an easy thing to do. Daily we stand in need of your forgiveness. Daily we need to be reminded to live in the freedom of being your children. And daily we need the balm of your grace to enable us to continue the journey to the new heaven and the new earth. Father, we thank you that you have appointed the Lord Jesus Christ to be the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And that as such, he is leading and guiding all of history, also the history of our lives, to their ultimate destination. Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you that you are present in your word, and that as such you join us to the Lord Jesus Christ with your word and allow us to remain in him through your word. Enable us to receive your word in faith so that we can mature in the Lord Jesus Christ through the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. To that end, we pray that the Holy Spirit would richly anoint the reading and the proclamation of your word this afternoon. May he also richly anoint our listening by silencing all other voices that hinder us from paying attention and hearing you speak to us personally and directly. In the name of him who taught us to pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our scripture reading is Colossians 3, 1 to 15, and I'll read 1 to 11 now, and 12 to 15 with Lord's Day 21. Colossians 3, 1 to 11. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life that you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its Creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Let us now first sing together Psalm 100.
Thank you.
text for this afternoon is the Word of our God, as the church has confessed that in Lord's Day 21. And I'll look at that in the light of Colossians 3, 12 to 15. Now notice that verse 11 ended with, "But Christ is all and in all." So that is the background of the first part of my theme. If we want to be a congregation where Christ is all and in all. And then comes the section that deals with Colossians 3, the verses 12 to 15, the new clothing. "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. And be thankful." Lord's Day 21. What do you believe concerning the Holy Catholic Christian Church? I believe that the Son of God, out of the whole human race, from the beginning of the world to its end, gathers, defends, and preserves for himself, by his Spirit and Word in the unity of true faith, a church chosen to everlasting life. And I believe that I am and forever shall remain a living member of it. What do you understand by the communion of saints? First, that believers all and everyone, as members of Christ, have communion with him and share in all his treasures and gifts. And second, that everyone is duty-bound to use his gifts readily and cheerfully for the benefit and the well-being of the other members. And what do you believe concerning the forgiveness of sins? I believe that God, because of Christ's satisfaction, will no more remember my sins, nor my sinful nature, against which I have to struggle all my life, but will graciously grant me the righteousness of Christ, that I may never come into condemnation. In response to the proclamation of God's word, let us sing together Hymn 52, stanza 1. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, how would you like to be a congregation where Christ is all and in all? Christ is all. That means that Christ is all that matters, or all who matters. You could say to others, it doesn't matter. It's all about Christ. As long as Christ is magnified through this, I'm fine with this. Christ is all, and Christ is in all. It's no longer you who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in you. Imagine if the whole congregation was like this, that every member cared for nothing more than the glory of Christ. And every member cared for nothing more than having Christ live in him, which really means it's not about me. It's not about my agenda, my this or my that. It's about Christ living in me. That's what a congregation where Christ is all and in all. That's what it's about. Now, Paul has been developing this theme that he gets to this point in Colossians 3, verse 11, where he says, Christ is all and in all. In chapter 1, verse 29, he says, I strive with all the energy of Christ within me. Notice it's Christ in him. It's all Christ energy within him to present everybody mature in Christ. So that's the secret of Paul's zeal. And that should be my secret as well. And the secret of every pastor and preacher. And the secret of every office bearer is that you want to present the members whom God has entrusted to your care mature in Christ. It's not so that you get them to think how you think. That might be important in certain cases. But it's about maturity in Christ. What can we as office bearers do to present the sheep entrusted to our care as mature members in the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, in order to present members mature in Christ, this is what I would say to the members, and this is what the office bearer should say to the members. You say, now, let's say there's an issue, and you say, now, you need to remember. This is Colossians 3, 1 to 10. You need to remember that you have put off your old self. So there's an issue, and the old self sticks up its ugly head, and the old self is causing problems in a marriage, is causing problems in other relationships, and then you come alongside the family as a pastor and as an elder or even as a brother and sister, and you have to say in the light of Colossians 3, remember now, you profess to be a Christian. That means you're in Christ. And you now need to remember that you have put off your old self. That old self with all its ugliness was nailed to the cross when Christ was nailed to the cross. Your old self died there. That's Lord's Day 16 language. My old self died together with Christ. And that's an echo also of Colossians 3. You see, that old self doesn't have a right to stick up its ugly head. The old self with anger, lust, stealing, lying, coveting. They've put this all off like dirty garments, to use another metaphor. You've put it off like dirty clothes. And then you continue and you say to the people, or you say to yourself, when the old self sticks up its ugly head in your own life, you say to yourselves, now self, as a Christian, you've also put on the new self. Now be the new self and act like the new self, which is increasingly being renewed in the image of its creator. Now, when you all do this, when I do this, then Christ is all, because that's all you care about, is Jesus. And Christ is in all, in the members of the congregation. It's not the old self that's living, It's the new self that's living. And the congregation needs to do this together as a congregation. Then things that used to separate no longer separate. Being a Jew or a Gentile in the early church used to separate. But in Christ, there's a new man. And Christ has demolished the wall of separation. See? Things that used to separate no longer separate. Male or female was an issue in the early church. Being slave or free, that could separate. But that no longer separates. And you can add things of your own. All things that used to separate you people from one another, those things are gone. Because Christ is all and in all. Well, if we want to live together like this, by reminding ourselves, I've put off all of that old stuff, and I've put on the new self. Now Paul says, and we'll see later on in the sermon, this is what being church is all about. This is how Christ gathers. Okay, we'll see that in a moment. Then you need to wear the new clothing that belongs to yourself so that we are in Christ. In the end of the sermon, I'm going to tell you that Christ is the new clothing, right? He's the new self. So when Paul talks about wearing the new clothing, that is synonymous. It's the same with saying, you've got to put on Jesus. And this suit is all around me. And we wear the new clothing that Jesus gives, then Jesus is all around you. Because you're in Jesus. And He is all, and He is in all. Now, first article of clothing is the article of compassion. And the Greek language can be very pictorial. It's actually the bowels of compassion. And the younger kids, you know, you know that sometimes you don't want to go to school. Maybe. And then you say to your mom, I don't feel well. You know? Because your nerves kind of go through here, right? If you're nervous about something, then all of a sudden you actually do feel a little bit sick, right? And that's what you say. Now, compassion, this bowels, just think of your stomach. So you see someone in need, a great need, and you actually feel it in your bowels, in your stomach. Just like when you don't want to go to school. You say, oh, isn't that awful? Look at the need that person has. And because you feel that in your stomach like that, you actually do something about it. You do what you can to help the person in need. Because you live for the other, right? And that also includes compassion. And this is what God does. When God sees people in need, if I could speak about God in a human way, you know, He kind of feels that in His stomach. It doesn't just pass Him by like that. He sees our sin and our misery, and He sees that we're unable to help ourselves. And then God feels that. He has compassion, and He does something about it. He sends us the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the same way. He saw a lot of misery during His life on earth. He did. And every once in a while, a gospel writer will actually use the word compassion when Jesus saw misery. And He sees these two men, He actually hears these two men, blind men, crying out to Him, Son of David, have mercy on us. And then the gospel writer writes, and Jesus was moved with compassion. He felt it. If I could say it a bit bluntly, He felt it in His gut. He felt the pain. He felt the misery of their disability. And He did something about it. And what is said about compassion, something similar could be said about kindness. Now we come to the third article of clothing, humility. No selfish ambition. No arrogance, no conceit. You consider the other better than yourself. And you consider the interests of others before your own. That reminds me of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Paul writes about that in Philippians 2. Have this mind or this attitude, which was also in Christ. He who was in the form of God did not count equality with God something to be jealously guarded, but he emptied himself, taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man. That's humbleness, that Jesus was willing to leave the courts of heaven and consider your interests and my interests before his own. The congregation is to have this attitude as well. They are to wear this kind of humility, just like you're wearing your dress. You know, don't I have a nice shirt? I have a nice dress. Imagine if they said that about, doesn't Jesus look nice around me? Because his humility is radiating from me and through me. And then the next article of clothing is meekness. It's the opposite of harshness and self-assertion, standing on your rights. I mean, that's kind of stuff you nail to the cross. That's the old filthy garment that you put off. The new garment is meekness, is gentleness, is being considerate to others, being willing to give up your rights, willing to be wronged because you trust in God instead of yourself. See, a person who is unwilling to give up his rights, you just feel this coming. He's trusting in himself. He figures he's got to set things straight himself. And so he can't be meek. He can't be gentle. He can't let God take care of it. But that's precisely what you have to do if you want to be a congregation and a person in a congregation where Christ is all and in all. The next article of clothing is patience. You suffer long with others in the face of wrongdoing. You don't retaliate. You don't lash out. You patiently endure. See, this is the way God is in the face of wrongdoing. This morning we saw how the Amorites and all those other ites in the land of Canaan did a lot of wrongdoing. And God was just patient with them. He put up with that. We need to put up with that too. Belongs to the new self. This is the way Jesus Christ is. Just look at Jesus' life on earth. Like all those Pharisees and scribes breathing down his neck, always trying to trip him up. You know, I think if I was Jesus, I might lose it. I might have punched one of them in the nose, just lost it. Jesus didn't do that. Jesus was patient with these people and his body on earth is supposed to be patient as well. And you see, when you're humble and you're meek and you're patient, then you'll bear with one another. If you're selfish and arrogant, that's the old stuff, you're not going to bear with other people because it's about you, not about them. And when you're harsh and self-assertive, you're not going to bear with other people either. And if you're impatient, you're not going to bear with one another either. But when you're humble, by the grace of God, when you're meek, when you're patient, yeah, then God also, in addition to that, gives you the grace of being able to bear with one another. You will bear with one another by persevering in the relationship when others don't live up to your expectation. Just think of marriages. Think of friendships. Think of congregations. And others don't live up to your expectations. You've got legitimate reasons to be disappointed. But you persevere in the relationship because it belongs to the clothing of your new self. You bear with one another and you forgive one another. You take the initiative when you're offended and you don't wait for an apology. Brothers and sisters, we got to get rid of that stuff. That we wait for someone else to apologize before we forgive. That's the old clothing. Don't go there. You take the initiative to restore the relationship. Imagine if Christ would have been like that. Well, you know, I'm willing to come. And then once I've come, I'm willing to go to the cross. You know, if the people show some remorse, right? While we were enemies, while we were sinners, Christ died for us on the cross. Father, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. You want to be a congregation? Christ is all. He's all that matters, and he's in all. See, if you wait for someone else to apologize before you restore the relationship, it's you who's living. It really is. It's you who's living and not Christ Jesus who's living in you. And above all these virtues, you put on love. Love binds the other virtues together in perfect harmony. Do you ever notice the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5? The fruit of the Spirit is love. And then most translations have a comma, and then you get eight other things. Probably would be good to say the fruit of the Spirit is love, colon. And then you have eight manifestations of love. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so forth. You have eight other ones that are eight manifestations of love. So love is at the beginning. In Galatians 5, eight manifestations of love. Here you have seven manifestations of love in Colossians 3, and love is at the end. Everything that Paul said about compassion and humility and so are all manifestations of love. Above all these things, put on love, which binds them all together. And in addition, says Paul, let the peace of Christ rule your hearts. He's talking about the hearts. He's talking about your thinking. He's talking about your feelings. He's talking about your will. Let the peace of Christ rule your inner person. Whenever there's an issue, imagine that. Whenever there's an issue, in the back of your mind should always be, in this issue, I have to let the peace of Christ rule. Because, as Paul says, you have been called to the peace of Christ as members of one body. And be thankful. Be thankful to God that he enabled you to put off those vices that belong to your old self, like a filthy garment, like a mechanic sheds his coveralls, you know. He leaves them in the shop, I guess he does, you know, he just sheds his coveralls. Finally I'm a bit clean again, right? Just shed all of that dirty stuff. You thank God that he enabled you to do that. And that he enabled you to put on your new self, which is being renewed in the image of its creator. When you put it on like clothing that belong to your new self, so Christ can be all and in all. Now I come to Lord's Day 21. You feel already that this has something to do with Lord's Day 21. But I can make it even more specific. Look at how Paul begins in verse 12. I purposely skipped over these words because I wanted to save them for the Lord's Day. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. What does that word chosen remind you of? Look at question and answer 54 of the Heidelberg Catechism. That the Son of God is, you know, gathering a church, what? Chosen to everlasting life. So here you got Lord's Day 21 in answer 54 speaking about a church chosen to everlasting life, and you've got Paul talking about a church, a congregation where Christ is all and in all. He says, you're chosen for this. This is what being church is about. Because we're chosen for this, this is why Christ is gathering a church. This is why the Lord Jesus Christ is defending and preserving a church. Putting on the clothing that belongs to your new self is what being church is all about. Because the church is the new self. Paul's theology, or the theology of the Holy Spirit, however you want to formulate this, the theology of the New Testament, and that is in line with the Old Testament, is that the church is the new self. It is a corporate new self. He says it even clear in Ephesians, out of these two groups, Jews and Gentiles, after breaking down the wall of enmity between these two groups, he created in himself, in Jesus, one new man, one new self. So read these new self things also corporately. That's what the church is. It's the new self. I hear too many people pray, thank you, Lord Jesus, for forgiving my sins. I just hear, they're always praying for that. And it's good that they pray for that, lest you misunderstand me. When is the last time you heard a person pray, thank you for allowing me to put on the new self? When's the last time you prayed that? It's not on your radar screen. It isn't. And this is the normal language of Paul's epistles, putting on the new self. I just don't hear people pray that. Like when I served across the road, the elders would always pray before we went in. I never once heard them pray that. They always prayed, thank you for sending Jesus to forgive my sins. And that's good. It's only half the gospel. You can't live with half the gospel. You need to have the whole gospel. This is what being church is all. The reason why God forgives us our sins is so that we can put on our new self. It's a stepping stone to something bigger. And the reason we put on our new self is so that in the end we can be glorified. But don't get fixated on the entry. It's like looking at a building and saying, well, what a nice foundation. You know, my son's building a new house now, and What if I kept saying to him, Ian, you got a nice foundation there? That's forgiveness, right? Forgiveness is the foundation. Shows you how important it is, eh? A house without a foundation. What if I kept saying, what a nice foundation? I didn't talk about the siding. Didn't talk about the rooms. Didn't talk about the roof. I just kept talking about the foundation. Don't do that as Christians. That's just a half a gospel. Might even be a quarter of the gospel. The gospel is so much bigger. And at the heart of the gospel really is the new self. God makes us human again, truly human in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the word holy. Look at the word holy in question 54. What do you believe concerning the Holy Catholic Church? Holy. And now look at Colossians 3, verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. This is what it's about. Holy is separated, set apart from the old stuff. It's set apart from the mechanics' dirty garments. Don't worry, nothing against mechanics. You know, it's just my the image that came up. Or other filthy clothing, right? Being set apart from that and being consecrated to God. That's what the Holy Catholic Church is. And Paul in Colossians 3, he writes this way. So Colossians 3 is about the church gathering work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Loved by God. Go to answer 56, the forgiveness of sins. The church is a fellowship that is loved by God in Christ. Because Christ enabled God to forgive the church her sins. Without forgiveness, there's no holiness. Without forgiveness, there's no glorification. You need forgiveness. It's huge. It's part of the church gathering work of Christ. The church is a group of people who have had their sins forgiven in Christ. So by all means, thank God. Thank you for having forgiven me my sins. But do move on. Do move on. Thank you that in Christ you've given me new clothing so that I can have Christ all around me and I can be in him and I can look beautiful and winsome like the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you such a congregation where Christ is all, he's all that matters, and he's in all? There's nobody in this congregation who is tenaciously hanging on to himself. It's got to be me, you know. My opinion, right? That's not it. You've shed that like filthy clothing. Are you a congregation like that? Very, very simple test. Are you wearing the new clothing that belongs to your new self? Very easy checklist. How do you respond to people in need? How well do you bear with one another? Or does selfishness and arrogance get in the way so that you don't bear well with one another? Self-assertion gets in the way. You don't bear with one another. Impatience gets in the way. You don't bear with one another. But you are willing to bear with one another. Someone asks you, says, how can you put up with that? How can you put up with that? And you say, Jesus is the secret. He's given me humility. He's made me gentle. He's made me patient. To what extent does the peace of Christ rule your heart whenever there's an issue? That is number one on the agenda. We've been called to peace as members of one body. Now we got to make sure that we let that peace of Christ rule our hearts. That's my first question. Are you? And I know you're not. I know there's no congregation like that. My former congregation wasn't like that either, even though it was a very peaceful congregation. It was. God gave us 15 years of peace and love. But that congregation was not perfect. Far from it. It didn't measure up to all of these standards, where Christ is all and in all. So my second question is this. Would you like to be a congregation where Christ is all and in all? Now, if you would, and I hope you do, then the Lord Jesus Christ says to you and to me, he says, allow yourself to be gathered, defended, and preserved by my word and spirit in the unity of true faith. Jesus says to you and me this afternoon, you want to be like that? This is what you got to do. Remain in my word and have my words remain in you. See, there's a connection to last week's sermon about the Holy Spirit. Listen to my words. Meditate on my words so that my life-giving words can have their beautiful Christ-forming effect in your lives, individually and as a congregation. Because the Spirit uses my words, says Jesus, to join you to me and to keep you in me. Because I am your new clothing. See, the church is the new self and Jesus is the new clothing. I'm your compassion. I'm your kindness. I'm your humility. I'm your meekness, your patience, and your bearing with one another. Jesus says, I'm the bond of love. And I am peace. And Jesus says, when you allow yourself to be gathered and defended and preserved by my word and spirit, in the unity of true faith, this is what it's about, you will bear fruit. The fruit of wearing the clothing that belongs to your new self. So that I am all and in all. Amen. Thank you. us now, together with the Church of all ages, profess our Catholic and undoubted Christian faith with the words of Hymn 1. Once the offering has been taken, let us sing together hymn 46, Christ Shall Have Dominion Over Land and Sea. Let us pray and give thanks. We thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that he is the embodiment and the source of our new self, so that we find our maturity in him by being joined to him in true faith and having him live in us as we live in him. Thank you that he is gathering, defending, and preserving a church for himself, chosen to everlasting life, and that by your grace and mercy, we may participate in that gathering, defending and preserving, by listening to his word and spirit, meditating on his word and the work of his spirit, so that his word and his spirit increasingly live in us. Father, we desperately want to increasingly become mature in the Lord Jesus Christ and bear the fruit that he is all for us individually and as a congregation, and that he is in us individually and in all of us as a congregation, so that it is no longer we who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in us. Father, there can be a lot of things that separate us from one another in our personal relationships and our relationship together as a congregation. May the miracle of Christ being all and in all increasingly put an end to these separations, so that we are truly who you want us to be, and others are drawn to Jesus and his church through us. In his name we pray. Amen. Let us now sing together hymn 84, the stanzas 3 and 4. Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Amen.